Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Diane is on the line in Dublin. Diane, you might just explain to listeners why you got in touch.
Hi, Andrea. So some of your listeners may have seen my tweet recently. I'm in end-stage kidney failure, being treated in St. James Hospital in Dublin. Now, I urgently need to start dialysis within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Unfortunately, my medical team have confirmed that only peritoneal dialysis, which is a very specific form of dialysis and is administered in the patient's home, is suitable basically to save my life. I will not survive without this, and this is critical. My current living arrangements are not suitable. I need a vast amount of storage, decent water quality. You know, there's a huge amount of storage for dialysis equipment, machinery, and you run the dialysis overnight, every night for 8 hours. It's a huge burden on the patient. My problem is I cannot find anywhere suitable to live in Dublin. Nobody is replying to me. All I am asking for is somebody who has a link to a letting agent or an owner with a property that's available immediately, and also who isn't going to try and gouge me and charge me $4,000 a month for it.
So no, there's an awful lot, Diane, you know, going on there for you and the stress of all of this at the minute. Just before we chat about the accommodation, when did you get the news from your medical team or the doctors that you have to start this dialysis? Like, it's really critical that you start this in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, literally in the last kind of the last week, it's been very intense in terms of doctors and the Kidney Association advocating on my behalf to try and get this started. It is critical. And I've reached out to ministers, I've reached out to departments, and I've been pushed from pillar to post. Nobody is putting any urgency on this and recognises. I mean, the Kidney Association has been advocating, and they have specified that I will die without this. And nobody cares. Like aside from the members of the public have been amazing in helping me try find somewhere. But in terms of, I don't have the option to have treatment in hospital. This has to be a home
this
solution.
Is because of the type of treatment that you are going to receive and undergo. It has to be administered at home. It's not a by choice thing. It has to be done at home.
It's not a choice. So basically, there's hemodialysis, which most people would be familiar with. That filters your blood, and it's done in a hospital setting 3 times a week. Peritoneal dialysis is a gentler form. I'm not well enough for hemodialysis, so I need to have peritoneal dialysis, which is only available at home. And I cannot find anywhere.
And where are you currently staying at the moment, Diane?
So basically, my hospital appointments are between Tala and St. James's. The home care team for home dialysis is based in Tala. And I can live anywhere between there, but it's a suitable accommodation. And just where I am at the moment is not suitable.
So you are in a rental accommodation at the minute, is it?
Well, I'm sorted at the moment, like, for accommodation, but it's not suitable. It hasn't been approved. There's not the space. There's not the water quality. You know, there's even access to, like, drainage, immediate drainage for the dialysis equipment. So, yeah, it basically needs
it's just
to
not,
be...
It's not suitable.
No, it essentially needs to be like a 2-bed apartment. And I need to have kind of a separate room for storage. And I've spoken to several people who've had, you know, they've had peritoneal dialysis in their direct family. And they would certainly corroborate that, you know, it's not suitable to not have a separate room.
Because to my sort of, you know, low-level knowledge around kidney dialysis treatment is that a lot of this kind of equipment you're talking about, it's big. It's not just a small machine. This is fairly big freestanding machines.
The dialysis fluid, there's a circa 5 litres in each bag, and you're provided with a bag per day. Baxter Healthcare provides you with 1 month supply. So you're talking about probably boxes in the range of 2 foot by 2 foot, but 30 of them that just need to be stored, plus all your tubes, your cleaning equipment, your dialysis machine, you know, and all your cleaning equipment. It's, aside from anything, it's a huge financial burden. And you're taking a massive burden away from the state by not doing hospital dialysis. But there just seems no joined up thinking in terms of where are people going to live, what is suitable, you know, how are we going to provide these provisions, and how are we going to support them?
So when you spoke to those in the hospital and your medical team and told them about your current situation and you have accommodation at the moment, but it isn't accommodation that's appropriate or suitable for the kind of treatment. And presumably this is treatment you're going to be on for some period of time, Diane.
It's basically, as the I spoke to Colin White, very, very helpful representative of the Kidney Association. It's quite stark when somebody says to you, like, or they write a letter in support of you saying, Diane cannot live without this. This is, the Kidney Association described dialysis as temporary life support. This is to prolong my life. This won't cure me.
It's incredibly difficult, Diane, for you. And, you know, I've no doubt this is hugely stressful, and I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice when you're talking about the situation.
I'm putting all my energy into this, and I'm so worried that I'm running out of time and I won't find anywhere. And like, I'm literally, I've been pushed from pillar to post with official bodies who should be able to support or help. And nobody is helping. Like, they've suggested central placement services for homeless services, and then it would be expedited through there. So they're suggesting I go to a homeless shelter, and everyone's forgetting that I'm incredibly unwell. I'm on my sofa today. I can barely stand up.
Day to day, Diane, how are you feeling?
Awful. Like, I cannot function, and I'm so stressed. I can't sleep. Like, I'm 36 years old, and as I said to somebody yesterday, most dialysis patients are older. They're usually in their 60s, and their life is equally valuable. But I'm 36 years old, and I am going to die.
And when you spoke to those in the hospital and your doctors and told them about the situation, I know this is kind of beyond their remit, but you've been put in touch with homeless services, basically.
And social workers and everyone. And like, it's so bureaucratic. And for example, they actually submitted a form that went to placement services, and they advised that it takes them 3 months to look at that form, not to process it, to actually look at it. They let them build up in a file, and then they will look at a bundle together.
So you are. That's how it's happening. Okay, and you are in accommodation or renting at the moment, but it's not suitable for the kind of treatment.
It's not suitable. There's no conceivable way that I can do the dialysis here.
Bear with me, Diane, for a moment, because you mentioned Colin White, and actually Colin has got in touch. Colin's with us here on the line as well. Colin White is the National Advocacy and Project Manager with the Irish Kidney Association. Colin, this is a very stressful situation for Diane.
It is. It's an incredibly stressful situation. Like, the reality is, when you're at the point of requiring dialysis, your kidney function is down around 10-12% or possibly even lower. So the physical impact on your body at that point, like, you can hear from Diane there that she's not well. Like, your only concern really should be, when can I start dialysis? Not about, can I find somewhere to live so I can start dialysis? Like, everything that Diane has said is very true. Like, the home dialysis, the peritoneal dialysis you do at home, the deliveries can be quite sizable. And like, I have direct experience myself. My wife was on peritoneal dialysis for some time. So I'd be very aware of the impact it can have in a house. The need firstly, stable accommodation, because you're getting these deliveries every month. So you really need to be in the same place. A need for space for the storage. And then very importantly, the ability to set up a sterile area to carry out the dialysis, and like having access to drainage, as Diane said, and like a decent quality of water. So it's like, sadly, Diane's case is not unique in relation to accommodation and dialysis. Carla White and Cliona Ní Chealaigh in St. James's have been doing some research in this area, and like the reality is that outcomes are worse in like if people don't have secure accommodation.
And how many people roughly, Colin, would be in the same situation as Diane?
I couldn't give you a precise figure on
she's
a national
not alone.
Basis. But I can confirm that she's not alone. Like, to give the kind of the larger context, there's about 2,500 people on dialysis in Ireland, and about 10% of them are currently on this peritoneal dialysis that Diane will be doing. And like, I think Diane's point about a bit of joined up thinking would make a lot of sense here, that there's perhaps a little bit too much of kind of silo mentality going on, that this silo is responsible for dialysis, that silo is responsible for housing, that silo is responsible for, etc. We need a bit of joined up thinking, because the illness burden, and as Diane said, like the treatment burden of dialysis is significant.
Yeah, and the emotional load of all of this then on top of it.
Well, exactly. And like as you said, like anybody on dialysis at any age, it's quite impactful. But like you're very conscious that somebody who's in their 30s is still at that point in life where kind of their roots and their kind of their professional identity, their personal identity, etc. You're still at that point where you're kind of establishing them, and if like being on dialysis kind of puts a lot of barriers in the way to doing that.
Yeah.
And
so what
before
are the,
you look at the housing issue?
The Kidney Association are obviously very much supporting Diane then. With her plea and appeal for help with permanent accommodation.
Oh, absolutely. And like the thing is, like Diane is trying to find somewhere to live. Like she's not saying kind of give me accommodation free of charge. She's saying I need somewhere to live, and so as I can do my dialysis. Like you've heard her say it herself. Like she's been going around the estate agencies. She's been contacting
absolutely.
People.
And is the central placement service like I know Diane mentioned been sent to the homeless section? Sure, that's not ideal at all. That's not what she's looking for.
You'd go beyond saying it's not ideal. I would say it's not right. It's not practical. It's like for whether you're on well, you can't do home dialysis if you're put in that situation, and if you're on hemodialysis, like where do you get your pickup to go for dialysis? Like where's your base? I think for such a defined illness, like we know exactly how many people are on dialysis in the country.
And is there anything the HSE or the department, Colm, can do?
Well, as to what they can do immediately, I'm not sure. But I think what Diane has thrown a light on is the need for kind of holistic care, and that there needs to be connectivity between social services and the health services, that we're looking after the person rather than the illness. Like we should be kind of, the focus should be on what can we do to allow Diane to live her best life?
Rather than just treat the illness. Diane, a listener has got in touch to ask, they're just wondering, how long do you need a house for? Because this texter says that they have a house that they're trying to sell, but it is currently empty at the moment.
And okay.
And I'm just wondering how, like, do you have any idea, you know, is this a sort, when you talk about a permanent solution, is it for a year?
Yeah, like, we'd definitely be talking a minimum a year. I think you need that stability, especially when you first get started. I think I'm obviously completely new to this, but I think Colin would probably agree that you need some sort of consistency in where you are so that you can get into a routine of doing it.
What sort of communication have you had? I know you've mentioned that you've been talking to some travel agents or some, housing estate agents, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, some have been helpful and they've said, oh, look, you know, we'll look and we'll talk to people and we'll see if there's anything available. And then others have said, oh, yeah, absolutely. We have a whole block of empty apartments out in Cherrywood, but that's going to be £4,000 a month.
And so it's just utterly not affordable, you know, for anybody.
Like,
yeah.
No, I mean, that's not appropriate for anyone. But I mean, aside from whether you could pay that or not, it's a case that, like, many dialysis patients, you are deeply unwell. You're not going to be working. You know, so regardless of your income or supports that are there financially, like asking someone to pay £4,000 a month for essentially what is a shoebox apartment is deeply unethical.
I've been told here, Diane, that we've had some communication from both listeners who seem to be in a position or certainly feel that they might be in a position to assist or help you out, or maybe they've got property. I haven't actually had a chance to read the emails yet, but I've been told here in my ear from the team that there's people all right getting in touch. So perhaps we might suss those out and put those in contact with you. And furthermore as well, I believe there's a couple of estate agents too. That have got in touch and feel that they might be able to help or assist in some way. We can't promise anything, but certainly if there's anything we can do at all to help, we'd certainly be happy to do that. Diane, listen, take care of yourself because, like,
thank you so much.
God, I really feel for you, like, listening to you today. Like, it's incredibly stressful what you're going through, and I know it's not easy, and I know it wasn't easy for you to send the email and come on and share this story, share your position with us today. So I appreciate you doing that.
I really didn't want to have to go public on it, but I suppose I'm in a position where the dialysis has to start within 2 or 3 weeks. In order to facilitate that, I need to get a surgery to insert the dialysis tube in my abdomen. That takes 2 weeks recovery. I need to be going in for that. I need to have somewhere sorted, you know. This isn't a choice. It's really, really critical.
Well, somebody else who's currently on the same type of dialysis that you're talking about, Diane, is after sending us in a picture here on WhatsApp. And the room is, I suppose, it's nearly like a kind of a utility room where they've got their washer and their dryer. But the rest of the entire room here is taken up with just boxes, box after box, stacked from the floor right up to the roof. In terms
phenomenal.
Of the amount of space that is required for this level of treatment. Look,
I think there's probably just a little bit of lack of awareness around home dialysis and the requirements. So hopefully, at very least, we've raised awareness for that.
Well, absolutely. I've certainly learned a lot from talking to you and even looking at some of the pictures that are coming into us here on WhatsApp. But Diane, thank you for getting in touch. Take care and best of luck. And we'll be in touch with you off air in just a few moments. And Colm White there too, who's from the Irish Kidney Association. Colm's the National Advocacy and Project Manager. Look, if you want to share your story or experience, as always, you can drop me an email. That's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.